James 1:22. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, I'm tempted to just go and sit down right now. Do like a Winston Churchill. He just got up and he said, what was it? Never, never, never give up. And then he just walked off the stage. And I'm sure they didn't think that they got their money's worth, but it's one of the most memorable speeches I'm sure that these guys ever heard in their life. But I don't think that it can be said any better. It says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Can I have a show of hands who's been to one feast or more? We used to do this all the time, almost every feast. Keep your hands up. Just put it down whenever it doesn't apply to you. Who's been to five feasts or more? 10. 15. 20. 25. 30. 35. 40. 45. 50. And then Jacob for 55. Thank you, Jacob. It's always amazing. I remember sitting there at my first feast when they did that. And there I was, I raised my hand up. I think I was 12 at the time. Raised my hand up, and they kept going. And I said, how long are they going to keep going? How many more years could somebody have possibly been doing this before me? And they kept going, and sure enough, there's some little old lady who's been doing it for 40 years. That was back then. But most of the hands went down after 20, because we were a fairly young church then. But still, 20 years, I thought, boy, I'd never ever get to that time. And now here we all are. It looks like the majority of us have been here for at least 20 feasts. The majority. That was not the case in years past. I did some calculations this morning, some quick calculations, how many hours I did at AC. Just how many hours of actual instruction time. And I came up with 2,000. That's 2,000 hours of instruction over 4 years to get a four-year degree. Of course, all that instruction was not purely religious. I had to do my math. I had to do some English. Speaking was very profitable, but still wasn't necessarily religious. But still, let's just go ahead and call it 2,000 hours. Now, throughout the year, we go to approximately 50 Sabbaths, and you can throw in another 10 messages for the holy days, the ones that you hear during the feast and all the other holy days throughout the year. And if we did about 15 minutes of study, if you only did 15 minutes of study per day, or average 15 minutes a day, we would be in the neighborhood of 200 hours a year. So in the course of 10 years, we would have the education that many received at AC. 20 years, obviously we'd have twice that much. 30 years, keep on going, just keep on adding it up. We have had a lot of education, and that follows in the instruction that we've been given in 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brethren, we have been doing this, and it shows. It shows that we've been studying. We know the Bible better than 99% of the rest of the world, if not better. Most of the people who attend church, they don't know the Bible. As a Catholic, we went, we had pre-printed material, never learned anything from the Bible. He got up there, 20 minutes was an awful long time to listen to him, I remember. Little did I know. They taught us the Ten Commandments incorrectly. They omit number 2. So you learn all the rest. Just one number off. and then number 10 they split into two. We're very well educated. What's that mean? Well, we've come through this whole year, through a whole nother festival season, and here we are at the end of it. We're on the last great day. What now? James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's saying there now, if we do not do the word of God, if we only hear the word of God, if we only warm a seat, sit here and listen and gather up all this knowledge, but don't do anything, we're deceiving ourselves. Brethren, I want to encourage you today to do something. What are we going to do with what God has given us? Well, we had better do something, because let's have a look at James 2:17. James 2 and verse 17. It says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Our faith, if we do not do anything with it, if we do not have works, our faith is dead. It's useless. It's no good. Look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James mentions it three times in the same chapter, no doubt to make a point. Do we get the point? Can we turn to Luke 12, verse 48? Luke 12, verse 48. It says in verse 48 of Luke 12, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. We have been given a lot in the years that we've been in the church. We've been given this precious jewel of great price. We've been given understanding that the wise, the ones that the world consider wise, can't even begin to grasp. Who's been given more than us? Luke 17 and verse 8. I don't think anybody's been given more than we have. Here we are at the end of 2,000 years since the time of Christ. We have the knowledge of all those before us. They were given special things at special times, things that, you know, we sometimes wish we had. But now, here we are. We know what they know. We know things that they had no idea about. Daniel didn't even know what he was writing about. And we now know those things. Verse 8 of Luke 17. But will ye not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? He's talking to his servant. Does he thank that servant because he did those things that were commanded him? I think not. Verse 10. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. There's the key point. We are unprofitable servants when we do the things that we've commanded. Let's have a quick look at the parable in Matthew 25. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents. Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents and came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, your good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered unto him and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money, at least with the bankers, and my coming I would have received back my own interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see here, and we see also in the previous verse in Luke 17 and 8 through 10, what's going to happen when we do nothing, or when we do just what we are supposed to do. If we do what we are supposed to do, we are still an unprofitable servant. It's going to be even worse for us, I'm sure, if we do nothing at all. We see what the consequences will be. Let's turn to Philippians 1, 6. Philippians 1 and verse 6. And it says, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is God who has given us the talent, as it says in the parable of talents, and it says right here. It is God in the process that enables us to will and to do. It is God who has given us that talent, but it is us, each and every one of us, who have to work with that talent. So God is in the process from the beginning. He's the one that starts it off in us, and he's the one that's going to continue it if we allow it and if we work with what we've been given. Matthew 24:46. Matthew 24:46. Matthew 24:46, it says, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Shall find so doing. When Christ returns, he expects us to be working. He expects us to be doing something with what he has given us. If he's given us 5 talents, he's obviously going to be expecting more. We don't. Some of you may know how many talents you have, but you better be working like you only had 1 and that you need to produce 5. Brethren, we're not going to make it into the kingdom of God on the coattails of a minister, of a friend, of a spouse, or of anyone else that we know. Have a look at Philippians 2:12. Find out how we're going to make it, what we need to be doing. Philippians 2:12. And we'll do verse 13 as well. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Brethren, we better be working out our own salvation, with emphasis on the word work. Doing good works is complementary to the commission of the church. It's a means of bringing about that twofold commission to fruition. Mr. Hudson spoke today on sacrifice. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. It's happened so many times now that, you know, sermonettes are offerings and sermons, they mingle. And you can't help but feel that it's God's Holy Spirit that is, you know, guiding. Because these are not my words I'm speaking to you today. This is from the Bible. You know, I'm quoting the Scripture. This is not me. This is God. And hopefully, you know, I'm an instrument to be used, you know, through His Holy Spirit to convey some of these things. And I'll even cover, you know, some of the Scriptures Mr. Hudson covered. In fact, I didn't originally have it planned to put in until yesterday when I was going over my notes. Brethren, we need to give of ourselves at all costs. We need to practice right now doing what's right and standing up for what is right. Now is the day of our tribulation. It's a spiritual tribulation. Are we going to pass the test? Are we passing the test now? If we don't pass the test right now, then we will have to pass it in the physical tribulation. 1 Peter 3, verses 15. Verse 15 of Peter 3. Are we ready? Are we ready for the tribulation that we're in? If we have to go to the physical tribulation, are we ready for that? Time is growing short. We need to start preparing ourselves now. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We need to be ready to give an answer. We've studied. We know the answers. Whenever it's required of us, are we ready to give it? Are we doing this in our daily lives? Or, you know, do we have some of the older mentality where we're exclusive and we're just within ourselves and God does the calling and we have absolutely no part whatsoever, not the slightest? Are we afraid to stand up for what's right? Are we afraid to say what we believe? Worse yet, are we ashamed? It can be construed as being ashamed. Tell you what, that's the last thing we want. Look at Mark 8:38. Mark 8 and verse 38. Brethren, if we are not figuratively a voice crying out in the wilderness right now, especially with so few of us, we are so thinly spread everywhere that it is truly, you know, a vast wilderness from one to another, from one small congregation to another. Mark 8:38. "Whosoever there shall be ashamed of me, of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Brethren, now is the time. Now is the time to stand up. Is there anything that we're waiting on? I mean, is there any reason why we're not going to be doing this? Luke 17:33. If we're worried about ourselves, if we're worried about what people are going to think about us, if we're worried about the consequences of saying something, that you're a Sabbath keeper or you don't eat pork or something simple like that, if we're worried about our own lives, look at Luke 17:33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Let's look at Romans 12:1. Brethren, this is what Mr. Hudson was beginning to cover in the offertory. If we're not out there every day in every way presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, standing up for what is good and right, being proud to, in the right way, being proud to say what you believe and who your God really is, we may have a rude awakening. Romans 12:1, I'll read it again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How do we do that? There are many ways. Let's look at a few in verse 5. Or it'll be a little bit later, but start in verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us minister, or teaching, let us teach, or he that exhorts, on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules, with diligence, he that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of the men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. These are just some of the ways that we are to be laying down our life right now. Are we taking the opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ? Brethren, present your body as a living sacrifice. Do it now or do it later. What can we do? What should we do? Well, we should be setting an example. And you never know, what that example is going to mean to somebody else. And if it doesn't mean something now, it will surely mean something later. We went go-karting the other day and just got to talking with the guy while waiting for the dogs to arrive, and the Thompsons had already left. But found out that he used to be up at the Dell. He used to be up there, and he used to bring horses over to church for after church for the kids to ride. He used to be up there. Now look, he's here in Hot Springs, another feast site. Here we are not knowing these things. What was our conduct like? How were we acting? Are we just Sabbathers? church Christians? Or do we really, really try hard when we're out in the world to be a good example, even when you think it doesn't matter? It does matter. We're supposed to pay and pray. That's, these things, the example and the paying and praying, those things are not to be left undone, but they're passive. There are things that we're not really actively going after. It's not things that we're really going out and doing. It's not really going above and beyond. We need to be praying now that we can be tools in God's hand between now and the world tomorrow. What are your talents? I'm not going to go through here and tell you exactly what you're supposed to be doing, because that varies from one individual to another. We shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, depending on what our talents are. But we should take those, because God gave them to us, and it's God working through us to go out and do something with them. You can go back and look at Romans 12 if you want. Not now, but later. We just went over those things quickly. Those give you some hints on how to present your body as a living sacrifice, how to lay down your life every day. What are your gifts? Was it 1 Corinthians 12? He talks about gifts of the Spirit. Those, if you have God's Spirit, those are some of the gifts He can give you. We can pray for those gifts. You can pray for the gift that you would like God to use in you. You may ask, well, what can I do as one person? Well, you're not alone. With God, your spiritual resources are unlimited. We have very limited physical resources right now, whether it's brethren, whether it's money, whether it's time. We can do but a little work on our own, if at all. But through God, we can do an infinite number of things. Can one person make a difference? Sure they can. Look at all the examples in the Bible. Way too many to enumerate. We look at Moses, Abraham, Joseph, Elijah, Paul, just to name a few. These are men that God used mightily. Might throw in Mr. Armstrong. They were good examples God can use. God needs each and every one of us to be doing what's right, because there's also examples, bad examples, of what one person can do. Look at Achan. One man did something wrong, and everybody suffered. David, of course he was the king, but he did something wrong, and the people suffered, and many died just because of one thing he did, and it was just one person. We talked about Phinehas the other day. One man, he saved all of Israel because he was zealous. History is replete with what one person can do. Being one person, being just whoever you are, or whoever you think you are, just being just one person is not an excuse to get out there and to do something. So you need to figure out what it is that you can do. When do we start doing this? That's an obvious answer, I should think, by now. We should have been doing it, and we better start doing it right away. When's Christ going to return? Don't know. How big is the work ahead? Don't know. The work's going to be being done, though, whenever Christ returns. Are we going to be a part of that? Are we going to be working? Are we going to be doing? Have a look at Matthew 24 and verse 42. Matthew 24 and verse 42. We'll go up to verse 51. Matthew 24, 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord comes. If we don't know when He's coming, my guess is that we should stay ready all the time. Verse 43. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, He would have watched, and he would have not suffered his house to be broken up. The time to watch is now, brethren. We have had just an inkling of what the coming tribulation is going to be like with the World Trade Center's falling. Now there's been a little anthrax scare that we've had in the neighborhood of where the terrorists were training. There was also, I guess, they're not sure if that was, if they're linked, or if it was one of the actual men that were working there who it was disgruntled. But it was anthrax mailed in an envelope from overseas. We live in a very open society. We have been vulnerable for many, many years. But God has promised us a blessing. He's been protecting us. And of course, the people of this country do not understand that. But once God removes his protection, watch out. You know, there is just absolutely no way that man can protect, you know, the borders of this country from the evil that lays out there. Verse 44. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? The faithful and the wise, they stay ready. If you're a betting man, you could wait, I guess. I mean, you'd be losing ground in the meantime, for sure. But if you say, oh, God's not going to be coming for another 250 years, which, by the way, I've heard people say recently, especially in light of the World Trade Center, since the World Trade Center, 250 years, you think they're going to, I mean, they're going to feel, I bet, a bit complacent. I don't think it's that long. I don't see how it could possibly be anywhere that long. But, you know what? I'm not going to bet. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to work like I'm supposed to be working. Verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Doing what? Doing what we were just talking about. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, to eat and drink with the drunken, that is to say, be, you know, taken in the cares of the world. Verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not even sure why people would, you know, start gnashing teeth in times like this. But I wouldn't want to be there to see it, and I wouldn't want to be a part of it. It just sounds like a absolute frenetic type of mess that it's not going to be a pretty scene, that's for sure. And all we have to do right now is to start doing what we're supposed to be doing. What else are we going to be doing right now? What else is there that is more important than this to be doing right now? There is nothing more important right now. This physical life, as far as I'm concerned, it is a testing ground for us so that God can see if we're going to be in His kingdom or if we want to be in His kingdom. That's all the physical is. That's all it means. If we suffer, then God thinks it's necessary. If we don't have the great wealth, then He thinks it's necessary. And you know what? We shouldn't be worried about those things. There's only one thing that matters right now in terms of what we are supposed to be doing. And you know what that is. I want to encourage you to stir up the Holy Spirit that is within you. Have a look at 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 8. Verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of hands. The gift of God is the Holy Spirit, which does come on by the laying on of hands. Verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not you, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be you partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We cannot be ashamed of God, of Christ, or else he'll be ashamed of us when he comes, and he won't know us. And I can't imagine a more empty, horrible feeling. Look at Matthew 25. We'll have a look at another parable. The parable of the 10 virgins, which many of you already know. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. We're looking here at virgins. You know, these are church people. You know, they're untainted now that, you know, we have Christ in us, from the world. But they look like they were a bit lacking on the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom came. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and for you. But go you rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went out, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. Has this happened already? Maybe not. Maybe so. I used to sit in the auditorium in Pasadena, and I would hear Mr. Armstrong say that. He said, brethren, I don't think half of you get it. And there, of course, I was a lot younger then. I didn't agree with him. I thought he was wrong. I said, how could this be? The person on my left and the person on my right, they don't get it. I'm around these people all the time. I mean, granted, there was thousands of them. I'm around them all the time. What do you mean they don't get it? You know, don't we all believe the same thing? In the end, he was wrong. It wasn't half. It was much more than half. I used to sit there, and what that means is that now, when I would sit there with my wife, and there was 9 people, say there's 3 rows of 3, I'm sitting right there in the middle. I meant the people in the front, in the row in front of me, all 3 of them. The person on my right, and the 3 behind me. They're no longer there. They're no longer around. You know, I've done the numbers up, and it's, you know, this is a guess, an informal estimate. But you add up all the numbers, and we had 150,000 people at the feast. We had 100,000 baptized members. Now where are they? You know, there's little groups here and there. There's not much left anywhere. I don't know if he was referring to the 10 virgins at the time or if that had any bearing on why he thought what he had, but you know, maybe that time is still yet to come. You know, the references here are saying, you know, it's when Christ came that there was, you know, the 5 that were foolish and the 5 that were wise. If that's the case, and I kind of like the saying, who was it? Was you, Mr. Thompson, that was talking about pretend like you're Laodicean right now? Who was that? Mr. God? You know? If you say I'm Laodicean. It should scare you. Just the same as this should scare you. If you look at this and you go, could this still be in the future? You know, could it be right before Christ comes that there's still five wise and five foolish? You know, figuratively speaking, are there people that are not going to, you know, a considerable sum of people that aren't going to make it? Are you going to be in one of those houses? Yes. Which house are you going to be in? It's my hope and desire that we will all be standing with Christ at the beginning of the millennium. Today is not merely an end, not just an end to the festival season, but it's the beginning. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do with what we heard and what we know?